today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, you ever ask yourself, how did I get here?
All the time, Patrick. All the time. It is day four of Talking Heads Week. I don't know if you planned this or not, but the fact that we are by a fire here, the fire pit at the Foster residence, works perfectly for the title of the next album, right?
It really does. Jim, this is my favorite Talking Heads album.
Okay.
I'm going to come right out and tell you that it is. I guess basically it's a synthesis of all the stuff I love about the band.
You're so excited you could barely speak.
Actually, I'm really jacked up. Lyrically, I've been prepping for this speech all week, and I really blew it. Lyrically, sonically, and to me, most of all, when the African influence of Talking Heads really shines through the most, and they just try to play all out as funky and Fela Kuti as they possibly can.
Yes, right. So the album is Remaining Light.
Yes, it is.
I want to ask you about that, but first let's do our introductions. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
If you've never heard the show before, that's basically it. It's two guys sitting around a fire pit talking about music.
It's called foreshadowing.
And, okay, so I want to ask you about this because I know from many of our previous conversations that you are a fan of Fela Kuti and Afropop and, you know, a lot of African music and things like that.
Yep.
Did that start it all from Talking Heads? Did Talking Heads lead you to that music, did you go a different way?
It's a really good question, Jim. And I think subconsciously it probably led me to that music and led me to when I first heard it and read about it historically to like it. I remember one of the first Afro pop albums I got was by King Sunny A Day and his African Beats, I think. It's called Juju Music. That reminded me of the Talking Heads. And, you know, it was a very similar kind of pop set up. The Talking Heads were not necessarily the first band to ever integrate African rhythms, because I think that was happening a lot in jazz music and Miles Davis and Coltrane and a lot of stuff like that earlier. But as far as white rock bands that appealed to a lot of people that were urinized demographic in the suburbs, it made a big difference. It really did. And for that, I'm very thankful to not only find the music that I like so much, but also understand how well the Talking Heads integrated it.
The things that just makes you like excited as a music fan is when somebody puts their own honest interpretation on a different style of music, right? That's what the Talking Heads, I think, just did so consistently well.
Because they loved it, you know?
Right.
And it was very obvious that they were passionate about it. And, you know, really, that was the only purpose.
Right. Remain in Light has one of their big hit songs.
Uh-huh. Again, you know,
maybe
their biggest and maybe if you think about it, their best.
Maybe. It's certainly iconic. I mean, it is honestly.
They managed for every of these, you know, five albums to pull out one iconic, incredible classic.
I mean, Once in a Lifetime is one of those iconic songs in pop music history that sort of like everybody knows. Everybody can sort of like quote it, you know, it's imitate it, but in like sort of a loving way.
It's a cultural touchstone. And you may ask yourself, where is that large automobile? And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife.
Letting the days go by. It's one of those amazing songs that, like, when they record it, like, how could they possibly know that this would, like, resonate with people, that this would be exactly something that people would really latch onto? But it's really just, like, it's like a perfect little song. It's just kind really of an amazing song. So there's Once in a Lifetime, but yet, even with Once in a Lifetime on this album, there's another song on this album that you think is the best Talking Head song, right?
I do believe that Cross-Eyed and Painless, for me, is the perfect Talking Head song. You know, I could maybe one day, you know, nominate it for a perfect pop song. It incorporates the African rhythms. It incorporates the Eno Byrne collaboration. It incorporates the rhythm section, Jerry Harrison, and it has the lyrics, like the first four lines in this song, Jim, I would argue are as good as any first four lines in any song ever written, because it sums up every, you know, kid who like we know about, who went to his bedroom and closed the door and listened to records, you know, like, right. What am I doing to myself? Like, who am I?
First of all, that's some really good woodblock.
Oh my! I got a fever.
Some of the best woodblock I've ever heard. You know, you had a really good, you know, really good reasons for why you think this is the best song.
Yeah.
I have a much simpler reason.
Okay.
And just that it's one of those songs that when I hear it, I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that kind of song, and I love it. I actually, you know, we had to kind of fight for who was going to play this song.
Yeah, that's right.
It's also one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It also suggests to me just sort of sonically and rhythmically, just the sort of overall feel of the song. It suggests to me like motion. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It feels like a song that you almost in your mind picture yourself moving forward, like driving or something, you know, kind of like moving forward with this song.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's that kind of, that sort of repetitive bass line to it or something. I don't know what it is. It's a very infectious song.
I totally agree. And I think it was Brian Eno who once described Fela Kuti's music as six Mack trucks driving at 100 miles an hour in synchronicity, blasting their horns, like on beat. You know? And it's that same kind of thing, right? You can just see it barreling down the highway and just unstoppable. Yeah. And the other thing I'll say about this song, and I've talked a lot about it already, is there's a little bit of a rap that happens when David Byrne starts talking about facts are simple and facts are straight, facts don't do what we want them to, right? And that was a full 5, 6, 7 months ahead of Debbie Harry's heralded rapture, you know, kind of breakdown.
Good point.
So the Heads were embracing hip-hop way before.
I read something where they were introduced to Curtis Blow really early on, and
they had listened to all
that
stuff.
Embraced it.
Exactly, right?
But again, didn't do it in like a ham-handed way.
Not at all. Yeah, just really fit into the song.
They did not embarrass themselves like Dee Dee Ramone maybe did, you know, with his rap explorations.
Yes, but anyway. To me, the pinnacle of the Talking Heads, both encapsulating the early tension and twitchiness and multi-world music that they absorb, as you said, without embarrassing themselves.
Okay, so let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then I have a pick here for a specific reason. All right, so we mentioned Quick Break.
We did.
We're going to do this very quickly. What we want to say to people is, if you like the show, tell other people about the show.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
That's really it. Because we can talk on and on about, you know, rate, review, subscribe, all these things that you do on your computers and your phones and everything. But honestly, you know, we haven't talked about this enough. Probably the best thing, one of the most effective things you can do is just, you know, you have a friend who likes music. You hear the dog barking. The dog likes it. You have a friend who likes music. Just
telling a friend.
Just tell them about the show.
WOM, man.
And if they don't know how to, they go like, oh, I don't know because I don't do podcasts. I don't know how that works. Show them. Like, seriously, like, it's so easy. You just, like, literally take the phone in your hand and set it up for them.
I've done it many times.
It takes moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they get set up, you know, they'll listen. So, so that would really help us out. Just tell your friends, get them set up if you can. Okay, we're back. Talking Heads, Remain in Light. Great album cover art, by the way.
Fantastic, man. You know, these early computer graphics and sort of conceptual covers they had, Jim, were very important.
Okay, so my pick from this record is a song called The Great Curve.
Okay.
And we'll listen to that, and then I'll explain why. First of all, I could listen to that all day.
Oh, man, it's hard to turn that off.
I want to say, you know, there is something really just infectious about when you start to break this down, the sort of repetitive nature of, like, the beats and the, like, bass line and things like that. You would not think that's the case. You'd think, you know, logically, like, something that's repetitive is going to get boring, but that's not the way it works with these songs. They get more interesting in some way.
There are very subtle shifts in the rhythm, very subtle shifts in the energy, and they're basically playing four chords the whole time.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic pick, Jim. And for me, it's one of the first times that I can really remember consciously realizing that David Byrne suddenly was maybe writing in the third person a little bit, right? He's no longer talking about me or I or I did, but she did. And then later, you can think of the Little Creatures album and some of the later stuff he does where he was really doing sketches and portraits. So it's an incredible song.
So the reason why I wanted to play that, not only just because I love it, is the unmistakable sound of Adrian Belew's guitar.
Man, it's a very Eno and an incredible overdub, man. Just stinging. The Lone Rhino, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So when we talk about, over time, the way the Talking Heads evolved, bringing in more outside musicians. Here's a great example of that. Adrian Belew, who was, you know, sort of in a similar vein, very, like, sort of art rock kind of background.
Absolutely.
Played with King Crimson. at one point.
Yes, he did.
You know, had a connection, I think, with Brian Eno. Very kind of cerebral. But every time you hear his guitar, it sounds like no other player. And so here, you know, you don't have Jerry Harrison playing that bit. You have Adrian Belew.
Yeah.
A guy from completely outside. It's crazy, but yet, as you listen to it, you're just like, this is really interesting, right? This
really
is so different. Like, what is this happening?
And another great example of the Talking Heads just constantly forwardly moving. They never, you know, they weren't in one place at this time, and every album was a new adventure, and they were constantly playing live and just growing and growing. And, you know, after this, I think we touched on a little bit, there was a live album where they toured Remain in Light, and Bernie Worrell, who was in Parliament Funkadelic and all kinds of, you know, backup singers. Nona Hendrix, I think, was singing with the band at the time. You know, we're all in there too. So they continued to expand, and they kind of reached a little bit of a breaking point out after this album, Jim. But they really had stretched themselves to the limit.
That's right.
Like a lot of great rock bands did. And it's interesting that after this, they no longer work with Eno. And you know, they really had kind of reached a peak, which they maximized.
I completely agree. And it's almost like their work is becoming this sort of like collective at this point.
Totally
it's
agree.
It's beyond just the four guys.
It's a group mind.
The four, you know, band members. It's becoming this bigger thing. You know, as I mentioned, you know, the way I really got into the band was through Stop Making Sense.
Yep.
And part of the really appeal of that album and that concert, that movie, was just like how sort of like big the band was and how, you know, textured it was and all the different ways these people were playing together and creating this incredible, incredible music. So you see that obviously happening here in the studio, all leading up to that now when you look at it in hindsight.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
But you mentioned that this is kind of like they were building toward sort of this peak, and maybe this is where the peak happens. And I would suggest that it's parallel. It's kind of similar to the other artists in some way that we've done these first five albums, right? So the fourth album for The Clash was Sandinista.
Right.
Their most experimental.
Right. Where they totally
biggest,
reached a peak.
Let's put everything into this record that we can, right?
Yep.
In kind of a similar way.
Yep.
And then, well, we'll get to album five tomorrow, but I think it's a similar kind of story. And I would suggest maybe even Elvis Costello.
I was gonna say,
the same way.
You could
right?
see the same thing. And you're right. I think it's a great observation. And I think when you talk about the album that's number five that we're gonna talk about, of course it has an iconic song on it because that's what the Talking Heads do. But yeah, it's very much different.
All right. So should we get to tomorrow?
Let's do it.
Anything else about Remain in Light?
I don't think so. Just that it's my favorite Talking Heads album, and I think that if you know the band, you may understand that. But if you only know the band casually, I would certainly encourage you to go and find that album and listen to it front to back and understand where they came from and what they achieved there.
Yeah. All right. It's great stuff. Okay. So one more day.
Yeah. One more day.
We're going to get to the stuff that we actually kind of know more like firsthand.
That's right. Yeah. It's going to get emotional.
All right. So the way you can listen to this again tomorrow... You probably know this already because you're listening to it today, but maybe you somehow forgot. And if that's the case, or maybe you're new to the show and you're not quite into the whole
you dislike the Talking Heads
thing yet, you can find the show on Apple Podcasts or Audio Boom or other podcast platforms.
Yep.
Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Please rate and review the show. That would really help us out. We would love you for that.
Thank you.
Also, find our website,
SuburbsPod.com,
where you can also hear the show and read more about different episodes. There's a plane going overhead.
We have a helicopter coming in.
Helicopter.
This might be the bus, Jim. Can you hold some stuff for me? All right, I'll be back in a minute.
That's what happens in the suburbs of D.C.
That's right.
All right, we'll let that go past.
Yeah.
And as it passes, we should also say that you can call our suburban party line, leave a message, tell us what you think about Talking Heads. That number is
612-440-1984.
Or email us rock@suburbspod.com or find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @suburbspod. All right, man, one more day of this.
Yes, the Heads.
This is great. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you again about Talking Heads tomorrow. Lifting up his people, he calls the wind to guide him on his mission. He knows his friend, the wind, is always standing by. Emotion smells the wind that comes from far away.
But be careful about the taking their phone thing. I got asked to leave the subway for that.
All right. That's another story for another time.